I thank you for joining us this morning. I'm Chrissy Mernon. My guest is Maureen Molak. She and her family, founder of David's Legacy Foundation, in memory of her son David, who committed suicide after relentless cyberbullying when he was just 16 years old. She is on a mission to eliminate all forms of bullying and cyberbullying of children and teens. Maureen was telling me before we started, you know, she was an accountant, someone behind the scenes. She certainly didn't want to be in this position. No mom would. But here she is working to make sure that cyberbullying comes to an end. And so really, this is, you know, I was thinking she has a message for parents, but really she has a message for people because, you know, we're going to talk about bullying, you know, what the forms it takes, how devastating it is, why it affects some people one way and others another way. And now, really, she's here because she is working on COSA, the Kids Online Safety Act. She wants to get that passed in the U.S. Congress, so I'll let her explain what that is. And first, we'll just say, welcome, Maureen. Thank you for taking another step to educate us about bullying and cyberbullying. Let me ask you about, if you want to talk about your son, David, and then talk about David's Law, getting that passed in Texas, and the journey you and your family have been on since that horrible day.
It has been quite a journey. Chrissy, thank you so much for having me today. David was my youngest son, and in 2016, he became the target of relentless cyberbullying, which left him feeling helpless and hopeless. And after he died in January of 2016, we knew that we had to pass legislation because there were roadblocks that we experienced when we were going to the school to seek help and to law enforcement as well. So we passed David's Law in 2017, and it provided for education code changes as well as civil and criminal code changes, which really gave parents and schools a lot of tools to be able to address cyberbullying that didn't occur when we were going through what happened to David.
When you were going through that, what was the school's attitude about it?
They were very supportive and they really wanted to help me. And so I want to be very clear about that. But, you know, back then, schools did not have the explicit authority to investigate cyberbullying that occurred off campus. And what we did in David's Law was give them that explicit authority if it affected a child's educational opportunities. Because most often what we would hear from school districts is the parents of the perpetrators of the actions would come in and tell a school district that they did not have jurisdiction to investigate cyberbullying because it didn't happen maybe on their campus or it originated at nighttime. But what we did was we said that it still impacts the child's educational opportunities. And we don't really know if a child opens up a social media post and reads it while they're at school or not. So with technology, we needed to update our education code to be able to do that.
So David's Law allowed that.
It did. Absolutely.
And then you came back for some change in the legislation in 2021, David's Law 2.0. What is that?
So the prevention pieces that we did not get in 2017 with David's Law, we were able to pass in 21. And that requires all schools across the state of Texas to have a committee that is focused on anti-bullying and relationships among peers and students, building those great relationships that we know that are so important. Now, these committees can either be standalone committees, new committees, or they can also be a part of a committee that's already in existence in a school district. It also requires schools to provide lessons on a regular basis to help our students understand what bullying is and what it isn't, how they respond to it appropriately, and how they can report it so that we can all have these school cultures that are welcoming and that everybody is able to get the support that they need.
Well, let me ask you about what's at the heart of bullying? What have you learned about bullying? Why is there bullying? And why does it continue? And has it gotten worse?
Yeah, we focus a lot on cyberbullying because that we see so much of it these days. And we know that a child who is the target of cyberbullying is most often a target of in-person bullying also. And cyberbullying, because of its reach and the fact that it is 24/7 and a child often feels like they can never get away from it, and we know that science tells us that their increased thoughts of suicide are about 12 times higher than a student who might be physically bullied because they can find respite at home. But most often those spaces are blurred now. So we look at it from both of those lenses. But I will say that what we do know is that with cyberbullying, there are lots of different ways a child can be cyberbullied, anywhere from having personal information exposed about them. They can have rumors spread about them. They can be excluded. So the way that technology can be used to target a child, there are a lot more than what we think about our traditional bullying, right? Which is like pushing somebody into a locker,
right?
Which we still see, and it's still extremely damaging. But we're just able to see that cyberbullying is what we're experiencing now.
So why are people so mean?
I think a lot of it has to do with our constant barrage of negative information that we see online, that it almost becomes sort of normalized. And unfortunately, some adults don't set a very good example for our young people. And they are seeing that they are connected sometimes 6 to 7 hours a day on their devices. And so if they're constantly seeing that, they're thinking, oh, that's okay. You know, adults are doing that to one another. But what we want to do is send that message that that is not okay. And that's why we need parents to come alongside us and help us with having those difficult conversations in their home.
What would parents notice? You know, when you're, and I can only think about me, when you're a teenager, you don't even want to talk to your parents much. I mean, you don't even want people to know you have parents. And so what would parents notice? How could parents notice? And you know, I grew up without electronic devices. So everybody has an electronic device, a phone now. So, and you said kids are on them 6 hours a day. You know, some of them, they're just attached to their hand and they're just constantly scrolling. So what are some of the signs to a parent that something is going on that's out of the ordinary?
Well, you know, mental health is a big concern of ours, and we know that there are certain harms that are online that affect our children. But every child is going to respond differently. And as a parent, you know your child better than anyone, right? And if you think that something is out of character for your child, we recommend that you talk to your pediatrician. But there would be signs like changes in eating patterns, sleeping patterns. Are they using their devices more often? Are they using them less often? Do they have multiple accounts? Are they hiding their phone from you when you walk into a room? Do they appear to be more anxious or anxious and they never were anxious? So, I mean, any kind of change in behavior like that, you know, grades slipping, and partnering with your school also, asking them if they're seeing any signs, their teachers, seeing any signs of changes in their child. And like I said, you know, first line of defense is maybe speaking to your pediatrician, as well as seeking outside guidance and talking to your child, asking them questions, not just how are you doing today, but asking them, you know, how are they using technology and how are they using it and what platforms do they enjoy and what are they seeing on those platforms, and having them show you what they are doing online is a great way to start these conversations in the home.
Now, a lot of parents monitor their phones. I mean, there's a way to monitor what your child is seeing on their phone?
There are a lot of applications out there that parents can put on their phones to help safeguard their child. And, you know, there are a lot of things that you can put on your router at home, you know, also. And apps have safeguards in there. But I'll tell parents, there's not a 100%. You cannot keep your kids. And they will experience bad things online. And what we need to do is be able to help them develop the critical thinking skills and the resilience to be able to see when something is not right, how you respond to that, and how we take action against that. And if we think that it's affecting us in a very negative way, how we can reach out to an adult and get that support. And those skills will stay with our kids through young adulthood, right? And so that's what we want to try to do at a very young age. And I'll tell parents, it's never too early to start the conversation. Of course, you want to have age-appropriate conversations, and it's never too late because you have a lot of influence over your kid. Even though you think they may not be hearing you, they are listening.
Mm-hmm. And you said it's never too early. I see two-year-olds with phones. So these electronic devices, the ways of cyberbullying are in their hands at a very young age. And so they are seeing a lot of stuff.
They absolutely are. And we can talk to our kids about what we're seeing online and what they're experiencing. How does that make you feel mm-hmm. when you see that? Even through cartoons and things that they may see in the games that they play. You know, I'll have adults tell me that they can't go to a grocery store without looking over and seeing a child in a cart holding their mom's phone to try to keep them busy while the mom shops. And I completely understand that. As a mom who raised three very active boys, of course, we didn't have cell phones when my children were that young. But I could understand how that would be a way to keep them occupied. But if we need to have those conversations, and if we can start early, just for instance, if your little toddler runs into the bathroom when you're in the bathroom with the phone in their hand, you know, having the conversation, oh, no, we don't take phones into bathrooms. And here is why, you know. Mommy might be, you know, sitting on the potty, or mommy might be doing something. So we don't ever take phones into bathrooms. So mm-hmm. it's just a great opportunity.
So learning to put some limits on some things.
Absolutely. Boundaries and limits can start at a very young age and having those conversations.
Our guest this morning is Maureen Molak. She is founder of David's Legacy Foundation with her family. They are working on the Kids Online Safety Act, COSA. And you want to get that passed in the U.S. Congress. What is COSA, and how did you go from Texas, the Texas legislature, to the U.S. Congress?
So while I have been advocating for bills in Texas, I have also been working with federal groups, national groups, and I've met a lot of parents, a lot of grieving parents whose children have died from online harms, anywhere from other parents of survivors of cyberbullying, suicide-induced sextortion, drugs purchased online and those drugs have been laced with fentanyl, parents who have struggled with their children with eating disorders, and the list goes on and on. So we have all come together and we've been advocating for two federal bills, COSA, the Kids Online Safety Act, and COPPA 2.0, which is the Children's and Teens Online Privacy Protection Act.
What is COSA? How does it read, and what does it say, and what does it require, and who does it require things of?
One of the most important pieces of COSA is that it requires a duty of care for platforms to act in the best interest of minors, which means that they provide children and teens with default protections and responsible guardrails to limit exposure to harmful content such as cyberbullying and content related to suicide and self-harm, eating disorders, addictive substances, and sexualized content. It also requires these platforms safeguard against the manipulative and addictive design features that we know impacts their mental health. And I know firsthand what that's like in my house. COSA also includes some transparency provisions from the platforms and independent audits.
Now, when you're talking about platforms, the first thing that comes to mind is like Facebook.
Well, yes, it would require Facebook, but you know, our kids really aren't on Facebook. They are on Instagram. Snapchat, mm-hmm. TikTok. So it does have, you know,
there's a whole bunch of them.
There are a whole bunch of them. And as parents, you know, that I talk to thousands of parents every year, they can't keep up.
Yeah.
And that is really why we need this. We need the social media companies to come alongside us and provide these protections for our kids, provide us with the tools to help us navigate through keeping our kids safe online. This is common sense legislation that parents have been begging for years, and it's time that it's passed this year.
Now, have you had conversations with some of these online providers? And I ask that because I don't know the ins and outs of and I'll use Facebook because that's the one I'm most familiar with. But yeah, my kids say, well, you know, if you're on Facebook, you're old. You know, that they keep moving, that it does evolve and it goes on to the next thing and the next thing. And so Instagram is very popular. So my familiarity with Facebook is they know what you're doing. They know what you're looking at. And when you click on something or you like something or whatever, now you are part of their algorithm and their target. Is that?
Yes, it's their advertising model. So they're basically selling your identity for advertising dollars. And that's their business model. And what we're saying is that we're not trying to say you can't operate like that. We're just saying you can't operate like that with children.
Minors.
And we need them to stop that because our kids deserve to be safeguarded online because we know that they're not fully developed yet. And there's so many things that we regulate just for children that we don't for adults. If you think about it, movie ratings.
Cigarettes.
The pornographic magazines in the convenience stores that have brown paper around them. That's not for adult eyes. That's for children's eyes.
Alcohol.
Absolutely. And so we have to look at this. And if you think about it, with the number of kids, like almost every single child in the United States has access to a device, whether that's a smartphone or a school-issued computer. As we know from COVID, they were sending those out to our children. So they all have access, and our kids are online, like I said earlier, sometimes 6-8 hours a day. So if we are not putting regulations and safeguards into place with that, knowing that, mm-hmm. then we are doing an injustice to future generations.
Okay, so have you had any contact with the online providers, or what is their are they opposed to this, or are they neutral on it, or are they with you, they understand?
I have not had any personal contact with them on the federal legislation, but I have had contact with them when we were passing David's Law, as well as some additional legislation that we've passed over the last 6 years. And, you know, I'll just say that we're going to continue to have conversations. I have always asked them to be a part of a stakeholder in this. Often they have refused. And so that's why we have to do this. Mm-hmm. Like, we've given them ample opportunity to do this on their own, and they haven't. So now we need to require them to do this.
And so what is going on in Washington with COSA right now?
So COSA and COPPA 2.0 just passed out of the Senate Commerce Committee last week unanimously, which we are just thrilled about. And so, you know, next step for us is that it goes up for a floor vote for the full Senate. And we're hoping that that will happen in September. They are all on recess in August. And so we are, working on plans to be there in D.C. to talk to, you know, we already have 43 co-sponsors of COSA. That is way more than we had at the end of last year. So we are in a much better position. And after hearing remarks from our U.S. senators about the importance of mental health, the importance of getting these bills passed this year, we feel that the time has come this is our year, and we are going to do everything that we possibly can to see that through.
Mm-hmm. And so you've got 43 co-sponsors. And so that tells me that, you know, and a lot of these lawmakers are parents and they're, you know, and they're grandparents. And so they have children with devices and they hear from their constituents. So, I mean, this is a problem, probably a worldwide problem, but a United States problem that they have an opportunity to do something about.
That's absolutely right. And they've heard from the Surgeon General. And they've heard from the American Academy of Pediatrics. So the research is there. They know the mental health crisis that we're in. And they used those words and they applied it to social media. And so they are wanting to put these bills, you know, and have these bills pass. We may not all agree on all of the provisions in there, but we have to realize that we have to do something about it this year. We cannot wait any longer because there'll be an election next year. Nothing will get done, as you know, and so we know that this is our year to be able to get this done.
Okay, so it goes to the full Senate. And then what happens for those of us who didn't pay too much attention in government class, what happens next? How long does it take for it to become law? And then who's objecting and how can they interfere with it?
So there is not a House version of this bill, but what we think will happen is it will pass in the Senate. And then there are other avenues in order for it to pass because it has to be able to pass both chambers. So working on that strategy, and I am not a policy expert, you know, I tell people this all the time, like the most that I ever did before this was I got out and voted. You know, this has all been new to me. And so I am still learning the nuances and how to navigate through it. But what I do know is that this has bipartisan support. This is not a Republican. This is not a Democrat issue. This is a people problem. And this is our children. And, you know, whether you don't like a provision of the bill or whether you want a piece that's stronger or a piece that's taken out, we have to be able to all come to the table and realize that we've got to start somewhere. And doing nothing is not an option.
Because mm-hmm. doing nothing just allows whatever's going on to continue.
Doing nothing means that we're complicit.
And puts a lot of kids at risk.
Absolutely.
So what can we do? Somebody listening to this who's a parent or grandparent or just a person who's concerned about it, what can we do? What should we do?
Well, your voice matters. And your U.S. senators and congressmen and women need to hear from you. And people often think, oh, well, that's somebody else will do that. I mean, I was that person that thought that. But I am here to tell you, as somebody who has been able to help pass laws, your voice truly matters. And if they will email and call their senators, even if their senators have already supported these bills, let them know that this matters because we still need them on board because, you know, the heavy lifting is not done yet. Until that bill is passed out of the Senate and over to the House and we have that strategy there to get it fully passed by year end, the work is not done yet. So, yes, one hurdle, but we need people to call. We need people to email. We need parents to get on board and help us be able to make this happen.
Okay. And then voting?
And absolutely. And voting next year. And the other thing is that if they don't know who to email or call, they can go to our website at davidslegacy.org. The first screen that pops up takes them to a form that they fill out that will direct them directly to their senator. They put in their address. It'll take them there. It'll give them the information that they need to be able to provide. It provides the words for them to be able to use, to just be able to say, I support this common sense legislation to protect kids and teens online.
Mm-hmm. So it's that easy. And when you go to the David's Legacy website, what else is there? Because your mission is to stop cyberbullying and bullying among children. So you've got a lot of work going on in schools, a lot of work in Texas.
We do, yes. And I mean, of course, that's how we started. And, you know, we're in the schools, we do presentations, parents, educators, and students. We also have a legal action arm where we can help parents using the civil side of David's Law. We worked with the Texas Supreme Court to promulgate forms, to create these forms to help parents be able to get an injunction against a cyberbully. And we also provide legal support if a parent cannot afford an attorney. And then, of course, our advocacy group is also still very involved across the state of Texas as well as now federally.
Mm-hmm. So it's a great resource for somebody because, you know, I think when you're confronted with a situation, you don't know what to do.
You don't know what to do. And being able to find resources and the help that you need, we know from our experience that when you can't find those resources, that you as a parent are in crisis, right? And if you can get the support and help that you need, you can in turn help your child deal with what they are experiencing much better. So if we can get better at communicating with parents, giving them the resources that they need to be able to deal with a situation that may be very serious in their what's happening to their child, that's what we want to do.
Well, how about, you know, do you call out bullies, cyberbullying? Do you, you know, how do you stop them?
Well, schools have a lot of authority now to be able to intervene and take action. And what we want is to be able to try to catch it before it gets to a more serious level. That's why these preventive tools are so important. And we want kids to learn. You know, if they are saying something online that could legally meet the definition of cyberbullying, we want them to be able to learn the impact that that has had on the targeted child and what they can do in order to be able to make that right with that child that they have harmed and ensure that it does not continue. Mm-hmm. So, you know, schools being able to monitor that and working with all parents involved in these situations.
Because I'm thinking, you know, if a kid is a bully, is their parent a bully too? Is that an incorrect assumption?
I think a lot of parents will say that, and I'm sure that that's the case in a lot of situations. But I also want to make sure that parents know that if their child is a victim or a perpetrator, this does not make you a bad parent, right? That we try to do the best we can for our children. And sometimes there are things that are happening to our children that we may not be aware of. So being able to get to the root cause as to why your child may be acting out in that way. You know, I'm not naive. I know that we're not going to reach all parents, but I do believe that most parents want to do whatever they can to help their child so that their child thrives and has the skills and the socialization capabilities to be able to interact in the real world, because eventually they will be out and they will be working. And there are certain rules that we have to live by when we're out in the working world, especially when we're talking about, you know, how the online world more often now than ever, creeps into our working life.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. You think about it. And so really, after, you know, spending this half hour with you, Maureen, I think about, you know, that sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That is so wrong, isn't it? I mean, words are they can be so damaging and destructive. And when there's hate behind them.
Yeah, absolutely. Words wound. They can wound. And we will just want, you know, our message to kids is promoting kindness and helping out another child. If you see somebody that may be the target of cyberbullying or somebody who's not having a good day and may just need to be a friend, just reaching out to that person. And you don't have to do that online, just even in private. That often just knowing that somebody's got your back can make a huge difference in a young person's life.
I want to thank you for stopping by this morning. Our guest, Maureen Molak, she and her family founded David's Legacy Foundation, and that was in memory of her son, David, who committed suicide after relentless cyberbullying in 2016 when he was just 16 years old. They got David's Law passed in Texas, 2017, an anti-bullying legislation, and then David's 2.0 in 2021. And now they're working on the Kids Online Safety Act, COSA, and the companion legislation is?
COPPA 2.0.
And if people want more information or, you know, if they want to help you, support you, be part of this anti-bullying movement in the U.S., how do they get in touch with you, Maureen?
Davidslegacy.org. We have a lot of resources out there and they can contact us through that.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Chrissy.
Attention Kroger shoppers. Did you know there's a world of innovative services and patient care right in store? It's where an award-winning pharmacy and nationally recognized care come together. Connect with one of our licensed pharmacists today at your local Kroger and experience the care you and your family deserve. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.